The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a personal question for you today. Are you scared? Well, I think you are. In fact, I know you are. In fact, it would seem that all people are a little bit scared. Maybe we're not all scared of the same things, but nevertheless, we have some fear in our lives. And I'm not talking about spiders or dust mites or snakes, but bigger fears, deeper fears, the kind that make us stay up at night, the kind that we worry about quite a bit. Here's one recent article. And this is an Ipsos Reid poll. Canadians on edge about terror. And this poll says that 68% of Canadians fear a terrorist attack here in Canada. Maybe that's not your fear. What me worry? Canadians worried about retirement. 78% of Canadians worry about their retirement. That they'll either have to work extra hours or cut back their standard of living in their retirement years. Their golden years, as you say. This one comes from the Journal of National Cancer Institute. 87% of Canadians fear acquiring cancer. Maybe you fall into one of these. Maybe you're scared of terrorism. I know a lot of people are. As a pastor, I wear many hats. Preacher, prophet, social worker, administrator, sometimes janitor. And one of the things I also do is sign passports. Yes, I'm the person that you bring you a nice little passport picture to and sign the back. And due to changing border laws in the United States, soon to cross the 49th parallel, you will need a passport. And I've had a lot of people come to my offices recently to sign passports. And I know a lot of people are worried about flying and about traveling. They're worried about terror. They're worried about their safety. Cancer. It would seem like every day I deal with people who are going through cancer. It's a disease that seems to strike out of nowhere. It's been called the silent killer. And if cancer hasn't affected your life, just wait. If it's not you, it'll be a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, a family member. Things to be worried about for sure. Retirement. Always a topic of discussion. Maybe right now you're living the golden years. And maybe you're worried about what's the left for, aren't they? Everything they're cracked up to be? As my generation, those who are 30 years old, the 40-year-old, worried about retirement. Because we're going to be stuck paying for all of you for the next 30 years of our work lives. We buy RRSPs. We try and get homes paid off. We try and get things in line. So hopefully we can enjoy a few years of retirement. Maybe your fears are different. Maybe it's the coming bird flu. Maybe it's a big hole in the ozone layer. Maybe it's the kind of world your grandchildren are growing up in. Violence in the streets. Murder. Theft. Crime. Regardless of what it is, I'm sure there are things that fear, that cause you fear in your own lives. That's part of being human. We worry about the things we can't control, the things that threaten our safety, and the things that threaten our way of life. We like to be comfortable. We like to be in charge. We like to chart our courses. And our experiences are not new. We heard an Old Testament reading today, a word from the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah was speaking to a very direct group of people. He was speaking to Jews who had lost control of everything. Israel was attacked by the Babylonians, and many of the Jews were taken into captivity as war prisoners by Babylon. So Babylon left some of their army in Israel to lord over it, and also took some of the best and brightest of Jerusalem back to Babylon to be their slaves, to work for them, to raise their families, to care for them, to do all the things the Babylonians didn't want to do. The Jews had no country, they had no government, they had no power. But that was just the beginning. Things were getting worse. Because all of a sudden in the east, this new empire was rising called Persia. And they were stronger than the Babylonians. And they were preparing for war against Babylon. And this caused the Jews great concern. Because what's going to happen to them when Babylon and Persia go to war? They have no country, they have no rights, they have no protection. They know they're going to be the lowest of the low. They'll be the first to be put in the front line, the first to be taken into slavery, the first to have their wives and children ripped from them. They're scared. They have true fear. Very similar to the Jews of the Holocaust. And into this, Isaiah comes with God's word. And what's God's word to them? It is a word of hope. Do not worry, for I know you by name. I will call your sons and daughters from the ends of the earth, and I will bring them back to you. I will ransom Egypt for you, Persia for you, Seba for you. In other words, God's saying, I will give everything for you. I formed you in the womb. I know the hairs on your head. I know you by name. I love you, and I will care for you. Does this mean that no harm befell those Jews? No. But it does mean that God was with them. That God was standing with them throughout the tragedies and throughout the pains of their life. And in our gospel reading today, we see this come to fruition in Christ. When God says to those Jews, when God says to us that I will give my all for you, we see it in His own Son, Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. Quite a feat. John the Baptist is there doing John the Baptist kind of things, you know. Heckling people, making fun of the Pharisees, warning all Jews. The baptism involves a real change. This is not just a symbolic thing, but you need to change your ways, you need to change the way that you're living. And people are wondering, hey, is this John guy? Is this the Messiah? Is this the one that Israel is waiting for? Because in the time of Christ, Israel, again, is not in very good shape. They're an occupied land. The Romans control the temple, control the governance, and control the social systems of their country. They can only do what Caesar allows them. And just like the Jews of Isaiah's time, they want to regain their glory. They want to regain their independence and autonomy. They want to regain their respect. It's their turn to be the toughest kid in the block And they're waiting for the Messiah to come. And so they're hoping maybe this John guy is the Messiah. Maybe he's going to usher in this new age. But John says, hold on. What I'm doing here is just preparing the way for the Messiah to come. And this is someone who is so powerful that I am unworthy to untie the thong of his sandal. And that someone comes. And that someone is Jesus, who we call the Christ. And to show solidarity with what John is doing, with what John is preaching, Christ submits himself to baptism. And we are told the heavens open up, a dove appears, and a voice breaks forth from the sky. This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. God knew Christ's name. And in our baptism, God acknowledges our names. Whether it's John, Mark, Sally, Sheldon, Susan, it doesn't matter. God knows each of us from the womb. He's numbered the hairs on our head, and he has walked with us. But just because God knew Christ, just because Christ was blessed by God, doesn't mean that Christ lived a pain-free life. In fact, anything but. Christ walked this earth, was ridiculed, was abandoned, was tortured, was killed. Hardly what our world would call a blessed life. But 3 days later, he rises from the grave. And that's the power of faith. The power of faith doesn't mean that we don't have fears. The power of faith doesn't mean that we don't worry about terrorism, that we don't worry about cancer, that we don't worry about retirement. That's not the power of faith. The power of faith means that we can look through all these fears and we can recognize that God has a divine plan for us. That God has written the whole story. And we're living it out. As Christians, we still suffer cancer. We still suffer poverty. We still suffer violence, crime, disease. We're not immune from these things. But we know something that others don't. We know that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. That God knows us by name and God wants us to be doing something. And what I'm called to do is not what you're called to do. And what you're called to do is not what I'm called to do. But we're all called to do something. We're all called to work towards the end of that story. To bring the kingdom of God into fulfillment. To not get tripped up on these fears. To not hide in our basement and live with a bunker mentality of it's safe here, so I don't want to venture out of this zone. I don't want to risk myself. Heaven forbid, it cost me something. God is meant to free us from these fears because we know the final outcome. I don't know when I'm going to die from. I don't know in how many years it will be till I die. I get hit by a car going home today, or I could die in 60 years at 90 years old from lung disease. I don't know. But what I do know is that my God is with me, that my God is walking with me, and that my God has promised to see me into that heavenly company of saints. So I'm free not to worry about that. I'm freed to think about getting on to the business that God has called me to. God called Christ to walk the countryside, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to feed the poor, to suffer for our sakes. And Christ got down to that business. Christ called apostles to preach, teach, and baptize. And they got down to that business. And we hear from our reading in Acts how the gospel is moving into Samaria, how they accepted the word of God. Well, you know what? That word's still traveling. It's what's brought us here today. How this little word in Jerusalem come to North Battleford 2,000 years later? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's people doing the work that God has intended for them. But if people were scared, if people were gripped by fear, that holy work wouldn't be accomplished. People would say, why build this church in North Salford? That might cost us time, that might cost us money, we might fail, it might never work out. And those early settlers from who knows what country would not have came to Canada because they could have died in the boat ride over. They could have ended up poor, impoverished without food, freezing in the cold. But nevertheless, people moved on in faith. And today we benefit from that. And hopefully we move on in faith so that others might benefit from us. That we might bless others as God has blessed us. That we don't hoard, but we give. That's the blessings that we celebrate today. In our baptism, God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now we're called to share it. Amen.